Okay, thank you very much. Yes, indeed, I'm going to talk about different animals here, and I thank you for the opportunity to do that. Most of the results I'm going to show you are based on Kepler observations. So you can see here the RLRA stars on the A-joint diagram. These are basically horizontal band stars with large amplitudes, with periods up to 1 day. So the typical period of those are half a day, and they pulsate in low order radial modes, basically fundamental mode, first order mode, a combination of those. So these are well-known objects, and especially because of their limited range of absolute magnitude, we even use them for distance measurements. So you could say that these are well-known objects, and we know everything about those, so I can stop here. But no, basically the situation is very different, and that's on the right-hand side panel, and this is this disturbing and perplexing problem, which is century old, basically. And this is the well-known, famous or infamous Blaschko effect. And this is actually the amplitude and phase variation of many of these RLRA stars. You can see here an unmodulated star. This is from Kepler observations for 33 days with a constant amplitude. This is a nice unmodulated star with a, this is the phased light curve. And on the bottom panel, you can see a modulated star with a light curve variation, actually, throughout the Blaschko cycle. The typical period variation is a few percent. The amplitude variation can be huge. I'm going to show you some examples. And the typical Blaschko period, the modulation period, starts from a few days and goes up to a couple of hundred days or even longer. So before talking about the theoretical results, I just wanted to summarize the observational results that were taken recently. Can you hear me? Okay. There are actually tremendous developments from observational sides, and because of a large-scale ground-based survey taken in our institute, the Konkoly-Blaschko survey, led by Johanna Jurczyk, and of course because of the space observations. First of all, a very new result is that the frequency of the modulated stars, I'm talking about the RRAB stars, the fundamental pulsators, is close to 50%. That's a surprise. Up to a couple of years ago, the best estimates were between 15 and 20 percent at most, and we were also able to confirm this result with the Kepler. We have around 40 RLRA stars in the Kepler field. There are also multiple modulation periods in some of the stars. This is one example, CC Lacerte, where you can fit this envelope of the modulation with two different periods. And also there are other long-term modulations of the modulation, if you want. There's a famous cycle of RLRHR, which changes its modulation characteristics every 4 years. Also, there was a star found where the modulation was absent back a few decades ago based on photographic observations. So modulation can stop and restart. And also there are a lot of cycle-to-cycle variations. That's one example from our Kepler sample. You can see that the modulation from one cycle to the other cycle can change a lot. Even the Blaschko period can change from one cycle to the other. That's what we have found for RLR itself. And there are some extreme modulated stars. I just want to show this example. If you take the light curves in these specific phases, in the first phase, close to the Blaschko maximum, you can see a very nice RLRA light curve. And then when the modulation is very severe, you can hardly recognize that it's an RLRA star. So it's more than a factor of 10 in the amplitude, actually, and this nice double maxima, which is nothing to do with an RLRA light curve, actually. So these are very strange observational results. So we know a lot of things about the Blaschko results, and these are basically new results that came published in the, during the last couple of years. So what are the proposed mechanisms? Actually, we don't know what causes this this modulation, and it's a shame. It's one of the longest-lived mysteries in the position theory. Up to now, there have been three different mechanisms proposed. First one is the magnetic oblique rotator model, where we assume a strong dipole magnetic field which deforms the pure radial position, and because of the different angle, we'll see a modulation of the position. Unfortunately, observations basically rule out this large magnetic field, so we don't see those in our stars. And of course, there are other problems because in this mechanism, the Blaschko period is the rotational period, and if we have we saw that the Blaschko period can change, so that's going to be the rotation period, actually. There's another model, a one-to-one resonance model between a non-radial mode and the fundamental mode. This is a nice model, actually. And there's another new idea that was published a couple of years ago, which is a very complicated one, which assumes that there's a magnetic dynamo, a periodic build-up and destruction of magnetic field that will interact with the turbulent convection in the, inside the star. So that would, of course, change the stellar structure, and that would influence the amplitude of the pulsation. This is a very complex phenomenon, and we cannot really test it until we have a complete 3D model that can actually should be a magnetic hydrodynamical model. We made some first attempt to see whether it works or not in 1D hydro models. We artificially changed the effect, the strength of the turbulent convection, and it seems that it doesn't really work. So we there should be very, very large variations. Actually, we can even switch on and off the turbulent convection, and this is not enough still. So we have to do 3D calculations. So we don't know really what is the real cause of the Blaschko modulation, but we made some progress, and that's thanks to Kepler. We have found a very interesting dynamical phenomenon, and this is period doubling. Actually, already in the first release of the Kepler RLRA data, we have RLRA itself in the Kepler field. We are very fortunate. And you can see this nice alternating cycles of the position period. In the Fourier space, you can see half integer frequencies between the fundamental mode and its harmonics. And we have found it in RLRA. We have found it in much, much fainter stars, two other RLRAB stars. All of those are Blaschko stars or modulated stars, interestingly. And we have seen signs of this half integer frequency in other four stars. So actually, these stars make half of the Blaschko star, so it's a very common phenomenon. And we do not see those in non-modulated stars, so it's very interesting. A little bit about the history of the period doubling. In two decades ago, this phenomenon was found in 1D hydro models of cepheids, high luminosity stars, and from the observational side, a MIRA star was found that shows the same thing, and quite recently, Radek Smolak found BL Hercules stars in the Olive field. The main thing about this is that the cause of the period doubling, it was always a resonance, lower resonance between the fundamental mode and the A overton, lower overton. What we found, this was completely unexpected in RLRA stars. This is RLRA. We can see very high period doubling, strong period doubling in some phases. This is the amplitude of the half integer frequencies. This is another example. And the main thing is that this period doubling is very much related to the Blaschko effect, because we saw it only in Blaschko stars, modulated stars. But we can also reproduce this thing, not the Blaschko effect, but the period doubling in our hydrodynamical calculations. And we proved that the cause of this period doubling is a higher the resonance, actually. That was a surprise. Higher the resonance, 92 resonance, between the fundamental mode and the ninth radial overtone. We call it a strange mode because they are actually trapped modes, as you can see. So they are not heavily damped. Actually, they can be even excited. That's why they can interact with the fundamental mode. So in this sense, we call them strange modes. And how did we find that out? There can be many, many resonances. It is a linear diagram. This is a 2D projection of the of a free dimensional space, because effect temperature, the mass, and the luminosity that characterizes our LRA envelopes. So basically, the highest order resonances we could rule out, and we would end up with three resonances. And then we went to the nonlinear models. We had to do a lot of calculations, but the nonlinear period doubling regime nicely follows the 92 resonance, actually. And there is some temperature shift, but that's, we can understand that because this resonance is a very strong resonance, actually. So the period shift of the ninth overtone can be as large as 10% when we go to the nonlinear regime. So it's a strong resonance, and we found out that it's the 92 resonance. It's interesting because period doubling can lead to a chaotic position, actually, if we go through period doubling bifurcations, and that was found for arbitrary stars. But of course, there's a question whether we can see chaos in RLRA models. That's one example we want to check. That's one of the latest short cadence data from Kepler. It's a nice Blaschko star, and we can see the one surprise is that we can see the period doubling throughout the whole Blaschko cycle, actually. That comes from the short cadence data. And the other thing that sometimes we can see period 4 or period 8 regions, even. So it's very interesting. We want to go into details. There's another interesting possibility that we can see other resonances, free mode resonances. That's another Kepler example. We can see a whole bunch of other frequencies in the frequency spectrum, not only the fundamental mode, the harmonics, and the modulation side peaks, but we can see half integer frequencies, and even more. This example is tentatively identified as a free mode resonance between the second overtone and the ninth overtone. It's very interesting. We just started to model these things. And this is my last slide. That's another interesting question, whether the 92 resonance that we have found is a cause or an effect. If there's a modulation of, caused by anything, then it's possible that we will have some resonance in the star. But what about the other way around? Can this resonance cause the modulation itself? That would be very interesting. And I'd like to point out this paper published recently by Robert Busra and Zoltán Kolát, and they modeled, they took the amplitude equations, the resonant ones, so they took into account this 92 resonance. And what they found, that it's very interesting, of course, on the one hand, they found that these equations, these are ordinary differential equations, can have solutions that show the period doubling bifurcation. That's a limit cycle. That's what you can see on the right panel. That's the amplitude of the fundamental mode. The B is the amplitude of the ninth overtone. But even more interestingly, they found that there are solutions that show regular and also irregular modulations of the position cycle. So there are, even these solutions can be chaotic. So that's a very interesting theoretical possibility, that these amplitude equations can produce these chaotic modulations. Actually, so there's a very promising answer that indeed this resonance can cause even the Blaschko effect itself. So one thing we have to still have to check, whether these parameters that we're using in the amplitude equations can really describe real stars and the real Hydro models. But in principle, that's what I want to propose. That's a new explanation for the Brasco effect. So this high order resonance, 92 resonance with a high order radial mode, that might be an explanation. So the take home message is that Brasco effect is much more complicated than we were anticipated before. But thanks to Kepler, we may have some solution. Thank you very much for the attention.
Thank you. Time for questions? 5 minutes? Oh, in the back, yes.
Sorry, I just didn't understand one thing. It seems like you're saying, you're talking about nonlinear coupling between two modes. Is that correct?
Right.
How does that, I just don't understand how that occurs, like in terms of conservation of angular momentum, those kinds of things. I typically think of three.
So that's because the pivot ratio comes very close to the together, and then this resonance just locks. So if you are very close, we have the fundamental mode and we have the overtones, and if we are in the right parameter regime, then it might happen that the frequency ratio of the fundamental mode and the ninth overtone is close to 4.5, actually 92.
So it's the fundamental mode with a pair?
There is a, we are talking about radio spectrum, so I didn't even consider non-radio ones. Sorry. We might have resonances in non-radio ones, so the fundamental mode is always excited. That's what we see, this is the nice variation. And there's the whole spectrum of the higher overtones that are usually damped. And that's what happens, that the ninth overtone, or the 10th or 8th, can be trapped in the outer layers, and it can be even excited. That's how the two can be coupled. Otherwise, all these other high overtones are very, 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 very damped, usually. So that's why it was not considered before. But we have found that it does play a role when these trapped modes are connected to the fundamental mode.
Okay. Congratulations for having answered Douglas's question before he asked it. So we move to your.
Oh, that was your question. Oh.
That was a different question, but you answered it in a way.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, you may also have answered my question, but let me just ask it anyway. You talk about the strange mode, the trapped mode. What is the physical nature of that? It's not like the strange mode that Hiroki talked about.
No, that's
strongly non-adiabatic and radiation dominated.
Yeah, I have an, here. So, yeah, we talk about strange mode in the sense that they are trapped modes, actually. Or even we can talk about those in the sense that there's an additional mode. That's another usual definition compared to the adiabatic one. So if we plot these radial overtones as a function of temperature, and this is, they are scaled with the fundamental mode, we can see that around the 9, there are some strange things going on. So the first, the black ones are the adiabatic ones, the red ones are the non-adiabatic ones. Mm-hmm. So around this, there starts to be a deviation, and if you just take a small, narrow region, you might find that there's an additional mode or something. But what really happens is that this one starts close to the 8, the 7th overtone, and then it, at the end, it will be closer to the 8th one, so something like that.
So certainly it's a strongly non-adiabatic mode, and to some extent there are thermal modes.
Right, that's right.
Where the period is also influenced by thermal time scale.
Yeah, it is interesting.
The other
that
it's very interesting, actually.
Yeah, these were found in those high luminous, highly non-adiabatic stars. But Robert Buschler and Zoltán Kollár showed that even in the adiabatic case, these modes can show up.
Also,
I mean that these types of things. That
One final question, quick one, please.
Just a comment. We should not forget that some of the early work on the approach to chaos came from the Lorentz model, which is a convective role. And we've been seeing convective roles in simulations all through this conference. So we can very well have sources of chaotic behavior coming from the convective zone.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's thank Robert once again. Now we move to Avishpur, a local postdoc at the OGT here in the university, who will be discussing binary companions with orbital photometry.